here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day in the program. I know it feels like Tuesday, but it's Wednesday. And it's the day after the primary election day. And we're going to discuss the results of that. We're going to get your thoughts on the matchups for November 5th. We're going to talk about a lot of different things this morning. But I want to start off by just thanking everybody who saw my posts last night on my Facebook page. And by the way, if you send me a Facebook friend request and I don't accept it, don't take it personally. You can follow my business page, my public page, whatever you want to call it, on Facebook. It's The Other Tim Weisberg because of the flute player. And you'll get all the same content there. I'm up against the limit on Facebook for the number of friends you can have. I know that sounds obnoxious, but it's been that way for a long time. So I'm constantly having to remove people so I can put new people in. So it's just easier if you follow me on my public page. But anyway, thank you to everybody who saw my post about, I didn't even realize this. Yesterday when I had to go to a doctor's appointment with my surgeon who removed my kidney, and he just wanted to check on how things are going. And we're just keeping an eye on a stone that's in the remaining kidney. You know, he was very happy that the oncologist already said he doesn't want to see me anymore, but I'm still going to have x-rays and CT scans on a regular basis. And so I went to see him, and then they sent me down for an x-ray, and I realized as I was sitting in the x-ray room, oh, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of me going to the hospital with kidney stones, which is what led to the discovery of the kidney cancer and basically saved me, or at least made it easier. Because if I had waited, who knows how long it would have taken me to realize something was wrong. And if it wasn't for those stones, it could have been a lot bigger before they realized it was there. And it could have spread. So thanks everybody that just, you know, sent the good thoughts. But everything's all good now. Everything's good, clean bill of health. Just got to keep an eye on that other stone, which right now nobody's really concerned with. They were talking to me about the options. If I do decide to want to do something about that, they're like, well, we can treat it with sonic waves, but then it might break up and part of it might be a little too big when it breaks up and some of that might cause a blockage and you only have one kidney left, so that wouldn't be such a good idea. The other option is they go up there manually. I was like, let's just keep an eye on it for now. But thank you to everybody over there at South Coast Health that takes such great care of me and others. And that's why I'm going to be participating in the Nicole Podkawa 5K walk and run on Sunday, October 6th. And if you go to the southcoasthealth.org site and you go to the race site, you can sponsor me if you'd like. I have a small amount of money that I'm trying to raise. You know, I don't try to get too lofty with the goal. So we have a $250 goal. And, you know, it's not just me. I'm walking on behalf of everybody here at WBSM and Fun 107. So even if you don't like me, but you'll like one of the other hosts, you can make a donation and help us help families that are battling cancer. So let's get into the results of last night. Let's start off with, well, one that wasn't too much of a shock. Senator Mark Montagne will have a 17th term in the state Senate. He won about 80% to 20% over newcomer Molly Keavy, who said straight out it wasn't about winning or losing. And I think, you know, she's probably got some attention for herself. I don't know what exactly was the conversation she was talking about wanting to have, but, you know, now we can see where it goes from there. And of course, a number of state rep races in the area were uncontested. Chris Hendricks, Chris Markey, Tony Cabral. They're all uncontested in the primary. One that was contested was the 10th Bristol, where Bill Strauss is going to be, well, he's not seeking re-election. So Mark Sylvia faced no challengers on the Democratic side, but in the Republican primary, it was between Joe Pyers and Bob McConnell. And this AP estimate results that I have, which is what's kind of, you know, it's what all the different sites are using, has it at 82% of the votes counted, and they called the race last night for Joe Pyers, 63.5% to 36.5% for Bob McConnell. So Joe Pyers will move on to face Mark Sylvia in the 10th Bristol District in November. I think the real, and of course, by the way, John Deaton took care of the competition handily to get the Republican nomination to take on Senator Elizabeth Warren in November. So it'll be Warren and Deaton, and the Warren campaign already sent out an email last night talking about they proposed two debates between Senator Warren and John Deaton. So those should be lively. And then we're going to move over to the 2nd Plymouth District, where there was a bit of a shock. This was a little bit surprising. And as I said yesterday, Susan Williams Gifford had been in office in that district for a long time, over 20 years. I'm not sure exactly when, I'll have to look it up, but I'd say probably 25 years. I mean, I remember in the 90s working at Mill Pond Diner, and pretty sure we were catering some of her fundraising events for her first run. Because she was close to the owner of the diner, Biff Goyette. And so I knew her through Biff. And while we don't agree politically, she's a Republican, we don't agree politically, I always found her to be really good at her job. And any time that, so I remember when my son was born, we got this really nice envelope in the mail from her office with information, you know, with like congratulations and proclamations and all that kind of stuff. Great, great to receive that in the mail. And then every time that I would be in the newspaper for something in the paranormal world, not, you know, writing articles, but anytime there was an article that focused on one of our events or one of our investigations or something, her office would send a clipping of the story and a little note just congratulating on getting some recognition. And I always thought that was a nice touch for constituent services. I'm sure she does that for everybody who, you know, reached some kind of achievement. And I was always impressed at the level of attention that they were paying to the people in the district. But she was defeated yesterday in the GOP primary with 99% of the votes counted. John Gaske, a Coast Guard veteran, a Second Amendment supporter, someone who is more aligned with Donald Trump, defeated her 59% to 41%. He even beat her by a handful of votes in her own town of Wareham. I don't know what that says. I didn't think that Wareham would be considered a hotbed of MAGA. Maybe people just wanted a change. But now, with no Democratic challenger in the 2nd Plymouth District, John Gaske is going to have that office. So that was a very interesting result as we were seeing all the results that came in. I didn't get to see anything live. I actually went to bed at 8 o'clock last night. I was like, I have to write a story about the election results. So I was like, I can't stay awake. So at 8 o'clock, I just said, oh, I'm going to go to bed. That's twice in 4 days that I went to bed super early. But those are probably the key races for the area. Joe Pacheco gets past Barry Sanders for Mark Pacheco's open seat. He's going to move on to face both a Democratic challenger and an independent challenger for that seat. So it's going to be quite the interesting local races on November 5th. And really, I mean, we knew the people were going to turn out for the presidential election. And you'll get a lot of local votes as a result of that, people who fill out the complete ballot. But really, you have races here that would drive people to vote if there wasn't a presidential race at the top of the ticket. So it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, looking at some of these numbers and the performance of some of these candidates, I don't think anything's a foregone conclusion in November. Especially if strong numbers come out to vote. If you've got a lot of people who come out to vote for Donald Trump, who might not normally have voted in state level elections, and they decide to just keep circling the R, filling in the R down the ballot, you could see a pretty big change happening in some of these long held Democratic seats. And that starts at Liz Warren and goes all the way down to, you know, Joe Pyers in the 10th Bristol District. So you could see a lot of change happening. The one thing that I would say is important now is no candidate can take the next 2 months for granted. If Chris McCarthy calls you and says, do you want to come on the radio and have a debate? Do you want to come on the radio and make an appearance? If the New Bedford Light reaches out to you and says, we'd like to do a profile piece, if the Standard Times reaches out and wants to do something, take advantage of every opportunity, because I think name recognition played a big part in a lot of what happened yesterday. I don't know that people feel that John Deaton had any more chance of beating Liz Warren than the other two candidates, but they certainly knew his name because they heard it quite a bit, especially if they listen to WBSM and they hear the ads on the radio and other places. Folks out there might not have known the difference between Joe Pyers and Bob McConnell, but Joe Pyers got his name out there more with radio commercials, with signs, with standouts, T-shirts. That stuff matters. As much as people think, all I need is a Facebook page and an Instagram account, and I can win this election, it's still not enough. The traditional way of doing things still plays a major role. You saw Molly Keeby try to shirk all that. I don't need signs. I don't need radio commercials. I don't need to make an appearance on the radio. All I need to do is just get my name out there. Well, that's how you get your name out there. And again, I don't say this as somebody who's like, yes, please come and buy all the political advertising that we have on the radio. Like, yeah, that's nice. But I'm saying that as somebody who wants an informed electorate. And the most that we can do here at WBSM is talk about it, present to you the candidates, and offer them the opportunity for advertising. People won't vote for you if they don't know anything about you. Joe Pacheco probably beat Barry Sanders because of name recognition, not only because it's the same name as the person who's held that seat for a long time, but because his family has been involved in the community for so long, and himself. Name recognition matters, and getting your name out there to people matters. And the more appearances you can do, the more advertising you can do, the more signage you can put up, it makes a difference. Because people see somebody who makes that kind of investment and says, well, they must be a serious candidate, whether it's their own money, like John Deaton, or whether it is fundraising money, it doesn't matter. Fundraising money still, you know, your own money means you believe enough in yourself to finance the campaign. Fundraising means other people believe in you enough to finance your campaign. And either one is a convincing thing for voters to say, well, somebody believes in this person. So if you want to be taken seriously, you've got to do more than just Facebook pages. I always say, and I don't mean this as a slight in any way, but I always say if Facebook was the election, Charlie Perry would be the mayor of New Bedford. During that campaign where he ran for mayor against John Mitchell, he had overwhelming support across social media. And he got handily defeated in the election because it's not real. It's not real life. It's not enough. The people who are on social media may support you all day long, but they don't actually leave the house and go and vote. And nowadays, you don't even have to leave the house to go and vote, and they still don't do that. So don't fall into the false sense of security of, you know, you're doing enough. You've got a social media team that's got you covered. Buy the signs. Put up the signs. Hand out the signs. Make pins. Make T-shirts. Make appearances. Do standouts. Shake hands. Come on the radio. Buy radio ads. It all works. And don't say on November 6th, if you lose, well, I did everything I could, if you didn't do everything that you could. Especially if you're collecting donations and contributions from other people. You owe it to them to do everything that you can. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And that is Talk Talk. And that is what we do here on WBSM. We talk talk. And I'd like to talk with you at 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages. You can send open line voicemails on the WBSM app, which is brought to you by South Coast Towing. They're the ones that make it all possible so that we can keep having all these great features on the app, including contests, which you can go there right now and enter to win tickets to see the Marley Brothers September 26th. We have tickets to give away thanks to Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. They are located on Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Stop by and check out their selection. All right, well, we'll take more of your calls coming up, but right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Donald Trump pleads not guilty to another indictment, a trial date set in the Matthew Perry death case, and a viral TikTok trend is just plain fraud.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump is pleading not guilty after he was once again indicted for election interference in 2020. Special counsel Jack Smith filed a revised indictment last week after the Supreme Court ruled that former presidents have some immunity for their actions while in office. On Tuesday, Trump directed his legal team to plead not guilty on his behalf. Meanwhile, a judge is denying Trump's bid to get his hush money case moved to federal court. Mark Mayfield reports.
The former president was convicted on 34 counts of falsifying business records to hide hush money payments he made to an adult film actress during the 2016 election. Trump had since requested the case be moved to federal court, arguing the New York courts were biased against him. On Tuesday, a federal judge denied the request, meaning the case will stay in New York. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to announce an economic proposal to help small businesses today. Harris will be on the campaign trail in New Hampshire, where she'll outline proposed tax deductions for small business startups. Her plan would increase the deduction from $5,000 to $50,000. The U.S. is charging six Hamas leaders with terrorism and other crimes related to the October 7th attack in Israel. On Tuesday, the Justice Department announced the six defendants were identified by the FBI as leaders of Hamas, including the group's political head. Pope Francis is delivering a warning about religious extremism as he continues his nearly two-week trip to Southeast Asia and the South Pacific. Much of the focus of his trip is the environment and climate change. But while in Muslim-majority Indonesia, the 87-year-old pontiff took time to caution political leaders to guard against such extremism, which he said distorted people's religious beliefs through deception and violence. An official trial date is set for two defendants in the Matthew Perry death case. They're scheduled for a March 2025 joint trial for their role in the death of the 54-year-old Friends actor. The two who are accused of supplying Perry with the drugs that led to his overdose death last year will be back in court today for a status hearing. A California man is in custody after a shooting spree that killed around 100 farm animals. Monterey County Sheriff's deputies responded to reports of multiple shots fired early Tuesday morning. The suspect was eventually found by a drone in a crashed vehicle and taken into custody. And Chase Bank says a viral TikTok trend is really just check fraud. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
Over the weekend, videos on the popular social media app showed users depositing fake checks for large amounts of money and then quickly withdrawing the cash from their accounts. Some users claimed a glitch in the bank system allowed people to get the cash from the deposited checks. Instead, those who tried to take advantage of the so-called glitch later ended up seeing large negative balances in their accounts. In a statement, Chase said the incident has been addressed and added that regardless of what you see online, depositing a fraudulent check and withdrawing the funds from your account is fraud, plain and simple. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Well, Red Sox dropped a second straight game to the New York Mets 7-2 last night. They'll try to salvage the series this evening in New York with a first pitch set for 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Beautiful weather once again for today. Temperatures moderating a bit. Dry weather prevails through the end of the work week. This morning, clear skies, temperatures around 50, mid-70s by this afternoon, clear overnight. Another chilly night in the mid-50s, more sunshine for tomorrow until Friday. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
The boss, of course. Welcome back in 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We're talking about the election results of the primary election and what sets the table for November 5th. Jeff in Fall River sent an app chat message saying, good morning, Tim. I was just on Route 18 heading to the South End. There is a police presence at Ryder Truck Facility. Looks to me that they have a picket line forming. Just wanted to let you know in case you're interested in seeing what's going on. All right. Well, we'll look into it. If anybody knows what's going on, you want to send me an app chat message or an email or give me a call. That would be great. And then, you know, I was talking about how people need to be educated and informed to be solid voters. They need to know about you. They need to know about your platforms. They need to know what makes you different. They need to know why you stand out amongst the noise and why you stand out amongst the preconceived notions that people have about politicians. And that's what CC, who says that he's from scummy New Bedford, says in his app chat messages this morning. I wouldn't vote for any idiot politician. They all suck. I'm not going to read the next line because it advocates violence. And then he says, no matter what happens, this will be the worst place ever. New Bedford rots. Well, you know, with an outlook like that, why do you stay? With an outlook like that, why don't you try to find a way to get somewhere else? Because you know why? Because somebody like you, Cece, no matter where you go, that's the way you're going to feel about wherever you live. Because you're just a negative person. You're already coming at this from a perspective of what can we do? Nothing's going to change. And it can change. Find a candidate that you like. Find somebody that you think should run and support them. But I will tell you, the person who says, you know, all politicians suck is the least educated voter. And I'm glad that somebody like you doesn't vote. In some cases, yeah, you've got to hold your nose and vote for the person that you find the least offensive. But there are a lot of good people that run for office that do good work. No matter which side of the political spectrum you fall on. And the blanket, they all suck, they're all hacks. It's the statement of an uninformed, uneducated person. When it comes to the topic that they're talking about. You know, when Howie Carr comes on and talks about how every Democrat moon bat is a hack. Yeah, but you know what? I bet you Howie Carr has asked for a lot of help and favors from some of those Democrat moon bat hacks over the years. And I bet you he's had a lot of them show up at some of his different shows and events and book signings and all of that. because he knows they're not all bad people. He paints with a broad brush because he's an entertainer. That's what he does. But don't let that mindset that people have make you feel that way about everybody. Do you feel like everybody who volunteers their time to work on a campaign, to help a candidate, says, well, this person sucks, but I'm going to give them all my time to help them try to win this election? There's good people out there. You just got to do the work to find them. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. You forgot to mention that in these elections, special interest groups and money, whether it's the political parties like the Democrats and Republicans backing a candidate, a lot of money also can sway elections, because if you don't have money to the duration of a campaign, you're not going to win.
Right. We've seen many candidates who have, you know, come out strong and then run out of money and fade out toward the end.
That's why Liz Warren is in there for such a long time. She's got the backing of the DNC, and she's got a lot of special interest groups in Wall Street that it's lining her purse so she can keep the racket going.
Well, she's also a Democrat in a state that votes Democrat a majority of the time, so that helps too.
You can also say she's a carpetbagger from Oklahoma. The only reason why she's here, because in Oklahoma she wouldn't stand a chance. She's too far left for those in Oklahoma, and so they can't find it here in the grassroots. They go get them somewhere else, whether it's Maura Healey from New Hampshire, Deval Patrick. The list goes on and on and on. They get the far left out of state when they can't find it here, homegrown.
Or what happens is they come here, they stay here, and they become part of Massachusetts, like Liz Warren did.
Well, so they say, but she has other homes. I'm pretty sure she spends more time in D.C. In the suburbs than over here.
Well, so don't most people that are in Congress.
So does Ed Markey. Some claim that he has his aunt's address to run for public office, and he spends most of his time in Maryland.
Yeah, most people who serve in Congress do that because it's more beneficial for them to be there for networking purposes and for fundraisers and for things that go on.
So the bottom line, big money is what gets these people elected. Whether you're in the far left or far right, you get the backing of the RNC or the DNC and big money. Most likely, you're going to be in. You're going to be voted in.
All right. Thank you for the call. You have a good day. Yeah, I want to thank that caller for not hearing any single one of my points that I was making. 508-996-0500 if you would like to call in and get involved in the conversation. But we're talking about the election results and really the results on the local level, because that's where I think some of the upsets happen, some of the interests happen, some of the intrigue is in the November election. You're going to have plenty of time when it comes to, you know, Liz Warren and John Deaton. You're going to have plenty of time to hear both sides of that. And by the way, for people who are like, oh, well, Liz Warren is big money, big interest. You know, that's special interest, big money. That's who's supporting her. And John Deaton comes from the cryptocurrency world. There are just as many people who think that that's smoke and mirrors as well. So I think a lot of that will come up in their campaign. But at the local level, as I mentioned, you know, we had a number of Democrat candidates for state rep who were running unopposed in their primary. Hendricks, Markey, Cabral, they all, you know, go through. Mark Montigny beat his challenger, Molly Keevy, 80% to 20%. No Republican challenger in that district. The battleground ones, the ones that were contested, we now have settled, and we have the candidates moving forward. And I think what you'll see now is more of, see, some of these races, you know, Paul Schmid, Bill Strauss, they're not running against an incumbent. So I think that that is a huge benefit for the candidates because you don't have the challenge of incumbency to deal with. It's a lot harder to take on somebody who's been there, especially somebody who's been there for 20, 30 years. Or even a dozen years. So you're going to see new ideas, new conversations, new approaches, one way or the other. You're going to have fresh ideas and perspectives to vote on. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few moments. But do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Have you ever seen a Blue Oyster Cult performance? I mean, they just look like a bunch of dads getting together and having a band. I mean, any band that makes a song about Godzilla is all right in my book. So, very quickly, there's a number of great stories for you to check out at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And you know, here on the program, we love all things Lizzie Borden. And Ariel Dorsey has a great story up there at WBSM.com and the WBSM app about some new additions to the Lizzie Borden district, we can call it, the Lizzie Borden area of Fall River, where the Lizzie Borden house is and the Miss Lizzie's coffee shop right next door, which are both important parts of the Lizzie Borden lore. And a few weeks ago, a new sign popped up in front of the Lizzie Borden house on the street, not on the street, on the sidewalk, but it's a street sign, a yellow street sign that depicts a woman in a Victorian garb with an axe. And it wasn't the house that put it out there. It wasn't the coffee shop that put it out there. It was the city that put it out there, supposedly. And someone commented on the story on Facebook and said it was actually a Tom Bob creation. You know, Tom Bob, the artist who creates the different artwork across the South Coast. So it's very cool to see that sign there. But then also, over the weekend, Miss Lizzie's Coffee added a new piece to the exterior facade of its building with a new gargoyle on the roof. So you can see both of those and read about them at WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Like I said, you know, we'll always keep you up to date on the latest Lizzie Borden news. It's hard to imagine that something that happened, you know, 130 years ago, we can still keep you up to date on. But yes, we will always have the latest news for you on all things Lizzie. Also, Ariel has another story, which I found both interesting and a little heartbreaking because I'll never be able to afford it. But she has an article on the most expensive home on Martha's Vineyard, one of the most expensive homes in the entire state. And you can see inside of it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. I don't need a $25 million home. In fact, I don't know what I would do with a $25 million home. But it would be nice to walk around it. By the way, great poll question today, Channel 12. What was your favorite school lunch? Chicken patty, pizza, tater tots, or Salisbury steak? Chicken patty and pizza, kind of neck and neck, 38 and 34%. What was your favorite school lunch? I'm just going to piggyback on their question. What was your favorite school lunch? Oh. The numbers change. Chicken patty, 36%. Pizza, 33%. Tater tots, 28%. Salisbury steak, 3%. Salisbury steak, it's a bum rap. Certainly one of the best hungry man dinners, for sure. But I would say, you know, for me in school, And kids today won't even know what half of the stuff is because they don't let them eat it anymore for lunch at school. But chicken patty was by far the preferred sandwich, the preferred lunch of choice for most kids. They would always ask for a chicken patty with extra fries. And Betty Brown, God love her, every day would say the same thing to every person that said it. You can't get extra fries with a chicken patty. A chicken patty doesn't come with fries. So therefore, you can only get a chicken patty and fries. You can't get extra fries. Every time she would say that. And every time the kids would still say chicken patty, extra fries. But that was, I think, everybody's favorite sandwich. But I also was a big fan of the Steak'em. I used to tell when I was working in the diner and we had kids from the high school that were dishwashers, I'd tell them, I will pay you to get me a Steak'em from the cafeteria and bring it to work. Because I just never had another one like it. I don't know, but it was greasy and delicious. But those were probably the best. I also was a fan of turkey chunkies, which was kind of cut up turkey over mashed potatoes with gravy, a little scoop of cranberry sauce, green beans. That was another one of my favorite lunches. Again, I don't know how much. I've seen some school lunch menus. I know they still do some things. They just do them in a healthier way. So I don't know if chicken patties make the cut. I don't know if turkey chunkies make the cut. I'm sure Steak'ems don't make the cut. They also had burgers that were like kept in hot water. It's like you just took a burger out of water. How does that work? I work at a restaurant. I would never do that. And you could get all that for $2.10. I remember people being upset when school lunch went from $1.75 to $2.10. Like, where can you go in the real world and get a full lunch for $2.10? So college was a culture shock. What? I mean, I gotta pay more for lunch? How am I going to afford to eat? And then the best was the kids that had their own jobs, and they could be like, yeah, I'm going to get extra fries. I'm going to get two lunches. And that's how you showed you were balling. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I'm going to keep an eye on that poll. I think chicken patty's going to run away with it. I think it's a little close right now because people are fond of the idea of pizza day in school, but they remember exactly what that pizza was like, that Elio's square pizza. They're going to start voting for chicken patty. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back, and we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we can take more of your phone calls, 508-996-0500. Thoughts on yesterday's primary election, thoughts on the upcoming general election. We'll talk about some other news stories as well. And, of course, whatever else is on your mind. We did get an app chat message that said that what's going on at the Ryder Truck facility is the Teamsters Union Local 59 on strike. So if you want to get down and support them, that's happening at the Ryder Truck facility in the South End.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.